Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is titled Current Matters or Current Things. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. You are the great and awesome. You are the mighty and powerful. You are the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and you are sovereign and have sovereign jurisdiction over all the earth and the cosmos, the nations, and everything that is in the universe, because by their word, by your spoken word, they were created, and you called them into existence. And Lord, we come before you and worship you and say that you shall laugh in derision, as it says in Psalm 2, and at all the nations until they make them your footstool. Father, send your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give me the tongue of the learned, the pen of a ready writer, that I might instruct, clearly articulate the insight that you've conveyed to me. Father, I thank you and praise you in the name of our Savior and by the blood of Yeshua. We thank you for this. Okay, let's just jump right into this. I've had this scripture. I've had actually, and I could not find it. A friend of mine had a night vision when they were waking up and saw it opened up on the scroll. Actually, her part of it was 2 Kings 3, 5 through 15. But as we read the entire third chapter, the Lord began to quicken and give me revelation of the scroll and the fires of his burning, the works of the Holy Spirit, his strange and awesome works that he is doing. And we saw it with a group of intercessors, the counsel of the Lord yesterday and today, as we're seeking him to show us and give us insight. I'll just convey to you what he has shown me as of this point or this juncture, which is October 23rd, 2011. The last week of October is summing up. I think I'll just read the entire scripture verse and then I'll go through it piece by piece and elaborate on it. What prompted this was actually looking for this scripture was child sacrifice. Sacrificing your children up in order to gain power, either satanic power or prosperity, or any kind of power. That blood sacrifice, and especially human sacrifice, was quite common, and it brought a judgment. To shed innocent blood, yes, it gave demonic power, but it challenges the wrath of God, and eventually he will deal with that kind of abomination when it's created in the land. Hence, in the United States of America, there has been since probably 50 million abortions, sacrificing innocent blood because of lust for power or wealth or self-interest, etc. And then in China, it's 129 million or 139 million females, girls, infanticide or, you know, pre-birth aside, abortion aside, destruction of children in the womb, female children, for the mere reason that they were females. And this harkens back to the scripture in Genesis under the curse of the seed line. This great conflict between the serpent and the woman. And it's in Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity," you are an enemy, you are in conflict, "between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed," capital S seed, meaning the Messiah, the Savior, He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This is the curse, and this is a direct curse of the enemy between Eve and the serpent and the children. And Revelation 12 reflects this quite clearly in the mystical cosmic battle, that the woman was clothed in heaven, in the heavens, and her child, she was in labor and giving in pain to give birth, and a sign appeared in the heaven, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And his tail drew the stars out of the heavens and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child, her seed. As soon as she was born, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. The serpent deceived me, said Eve. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives unto death. So the dragon will persecute the woman who gave birth to the male child. It says in verse 13, but the woman was given great wings and fled into the wilderness. And the serpent was angry, and the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to this battle over the seed and the destruction of children against her children. He set out to destroy. He had great wrath against the woman and her children. When Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, was born nearly 2,000 years ago, Herod, inspired by Satan, caused the Roman army garrison to go to Bethlehem and slay all the male children 2 years and under, so that he might destroy the king who had been born by the birthed in Bethlehem by the testimony of the three wise men. So we see this slaughter of the innocents, the slaughter of children, of innocent blood, by satanic conflict, the enemy of the children, of the woman, the enemy of the seed, those who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ and his testimony in Yeshua. Let me say one more thing about abortion, since I believe we're going to deal with three aspects here, probably the Vatican, Rome, the Roman beast system, Jerusalem, Israel as it stands today, and the condition of the church. And these three aspects are going to be magnified, dilated, opened up in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. Now, the one other sin that I forgot to mention before we open this up is that in Israel, abortion is legal. That in the military, the military is co-ed. They sleep together in the same rooms. And the women soldiers are given 3 free abortions by the Israeli military because so many women end up pregnant in a co-ed situation. And because of the lax morality that operates in Israeli society. Now, the son of Naboth, who had made Israel sin, he did not depart from them. Now, Meshach, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. So this is the king of Moab, and he gives tribute to the king of Israel. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all of Israel. And then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are. My people as your people, my horses as your horses." And then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these 3 kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered, said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these 3 kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you." Now this he said to the king of Israel. "But now bring me a musician." And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all were who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil." So when they came to the camp of Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it, and they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees. But they left the stones of Kir Haraseth intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land. This is about child sacrifice in order to engage demonic power. Let's look at the beginning of Kings. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. 12 years would be the government, the time of government, a certain appointed time, a designated rule of authority. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. So it says, it applies in this verse that mom and dad did evil, and he did evil also, but not like them. And this is the difference. He put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. All right, here's the Lord's indictment and the Chronicler of Kings' indictment against Jehoram. And it is the sins of Jeroboam, his father, and his mother. What was that sin? Well, it's listed in 1 Kings 12:28. Therefore, the king, that is Jeroboam's father, Jeroboam, asked advice. He made two calves of gold and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem? Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." Aha, they're the Egyptian golden calves. They're the Egyptian mystery religion tied into Babylonian idolatrous worship. And he set up one in Bethel, which is where Jacob had a visitation. And the other he put in Dan, the apostate northern tribe. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Okay, he did not go along with the Lord's commandments for the designated priestly servers, the tribe of Levites. He took them from anyone. And Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel. Now the feast in Judah was in Jerusalem. Okay, Jerusalem is in the territory of Judah. Sacrificing, these were the feasts, the holy convocations that God said and commanded the people to come up to Jerusalem. Instead, he said, "No, I'm not going to do that. We'll make them over here at Dan and Bethel." Sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month in the month which he had devised in his own heart. This was a religious altar devised in his own heart, not after the commandments of God. There's all kinds of ways, people say, to go to God. But God has only ordained one way. These people have all devised thoughts in their hearts and listened to demons and idols and worshipped other things that have said that this is acceptable sacrifices, and they are not. There is only one way. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt incense. So this was the sin of Jeroboam, Jeroham's father. He set up idols. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the current Israel. In Revelation 11, it speaks of the two witnesses who go to Jerusalem and who testify with signs and wonders. And it starts out with, in verse 1, that I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. Okay, so that's the holy place and those who worship there. And he says, but leave the outer court is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And then he gives power to his two witnesses, and they testify in Jerusalem. And the beast overcomes them by making war with them and kills them. And says, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom. Sodom was their people were fat. There was no justice and right ruling. The judges were all bought. They fleeced the strangers who came into their cities. And they were homosexuals. They were sodomites. And they transacted with angelic flesh sexually. And Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, our Lord was not crucified in Egypt or in Sodom. He was crucified in Jerusalem. So this is a city there, Jerusalem, that is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. And the sin of Egypt were the idolatrous worship of the golden calves, the symbol of the beast system, the carnality, the flesh, making altars after their own hearts and their own fallen darkness. Now, Meshach, king of Moab, verse 4 was, and now here's what it is, the Moabites, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. So he paid tribute to the king of Israel. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all of Israel. Said, look, I'm going to have to get my wages. I'm going to have to go fight for them. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? And he said, I will go up. I am as you are. My people as your people. My horses as your horses. And then he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, by way of the wilderness of Edom. And this speaks of the woman in the wilderness. Now, these guys were all, they weren't right with God. Okay? Jehoshaphat had worship in Jerusalem. The temple was there. The temple of Solomon. But Jeroboam was in Bethel. And Dan, and the king of the Edomites, was up in the north, across from the Jordan River, across from the Galilee. The Moabites were across from the Dead Sea. And Ammon was all the way up in the north. So it's the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Ammonites across from Israel. As you look to the east, their territories were in ancient days. And they went to the wilderness of Edom, which is you go from Jerusalem down into the plain of Jericho, across from Jericho. It's an open land. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. They got pretty thirsty. And the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So evidently they were getting very desperate. But Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Is there no true prophet in the church? All these guys, these kings get up and they say, well, we're going to go to war and we're going to do this. And they have not called on the prophets and the apostles who set the foundations of the house in order, who speak for the oracles of God. That then this is the finished oracle of God, is the fulfilled Genesis through Revelation, principled applications of the book. not a word taken out of context and a strange teaching or doctrine. A principal doctrine and understanding of the counsel of the Divine Almighty. Here we have a church in the wilderness. We have an apostate church, okay? We have a church that's apostate. They're worshiping golden calves. They're worshiping prosperity. They're worshiping their affluence and their platform, their own deceptions. The culture, a culture of deceit, religious deceit that's operating. It's not ordained by the ways of God. They're celebrities, they're high profile, they're kings for profit, for the sheep. Let's go get the sheep. Those guys owe us the sheep because Ahab died. Ahab was a pretty wicked king. And here, this part of the intercession that has to do with the church is the church is building her own altars. She's got strange teachings. And we'll go on right here to say, look, is there no prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And the word of the Lord is becoming the hearing of the word of the Lord. There's a famine in the land. Even if they heard the word, they don't want to hear it. They only want to hear what I want to hear. I only want to hear that God blesses me and endorses my position in Dan or Bethel, my altar. And I had this dream 12, 15 years ago in a Southern Bay area, San Jose. I was in the park, and there was a Victorian house. And in this house, there was a meeting of pastors and leaders, and they were having a conference. And they left, and the women ministers were on the floor praying and ministering to one another, and mothers. When, and before this, I went and sat on the couch and talked to this man who about a book, and it was called The Seer. The book, The Seer, is a prophet. And this particular man was a very high profile prophet and was walking with the Lord at the time, but has since gotten off of his foundations of the apostles and the prophets. The builders of the house, the chief cornerstone is Yeshua, the Messiah. And suddenly, as the women were on the floor in a position of humility, the entire house began to shake, the Victorian house, and came off of its foundation. And I said, oh, we have to go upstairs and get the children who are sleeping out of the house so they will be safe. What did that mean? There was a time sequence here where God was dealing with the leaders and the pastors, the elders of the church, the house, that had been walking in victory. And they had had this season of victory. And God was calling them to counsel to hear the true words of the prophet. And they disappeared. They were all gone. And the only ones left seeking the Lord's house and his ways were the women ministers on the floor praying and ministering to one another and praying for the children. When the earthquake, which shook the house off of its foundations, now apostle is one who builds a foundation, apostate is one who was on the foundations originally and was moved away from the foundations. And we said, we have to get the children, that is the immature in the church who are asleep, out of the building, lest they be destroyed. Hence, we have these three kings now that are representative not only of the state of Israel, which has an apostate leadership, which it's all about the children and what is happening with how they're dealing with their issues, who are making alliances with all these other kings that are in idolatrous worship after the likes of Sodom and Egypt operating. But not only that, but we have that here also in the United States. We have all these people claiming to be for God or religion for God, and God is not, I don't know. Is God with them? Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. He poured water. He cleansed him. He helped him clean up his work and administered it. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So these three kings go and appear before Elisha. And then Elisha, this is verse 13. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." That means go to Bethlehem, go to Dan, go to Egypt, go to the Egyptian, idolatry. Get out of here. Go to those prophets. But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." In other words, God called us together, but it looks like he called us together to be slaughtered. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regarded the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, where Jerusalem is, where the appropriate altar is still is, I would not look at you nor see you." Don't come to me for a word, you idolaters. Go to your own prophets. Go to your own, ministers. Let them prophesy to you what you want to hear. And don't come to the true prophet, because they're not going to receive it. But go to Jerusalem, go to the place that God has ordained in God's will and God's way. Okay, so, all right, but because of you, King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I'm going to talk to you. But bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Let me come and worship. And when I worship, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied the truth. When Yeshua went to Samaria and met the woman at the well, and he said, "You have had five husbands, man, you're living with us and your husband now." Oh my gosh, she changed the subject. "Oh, I see you're a prophet. Oh, you're reading my mail. Let's talk about worship. Do we worship at this mountain here in Samaria?" This is a reference to this, okay? "Or do we worship at Jerusalem?" Jesus said, "No, you don't understand. The day is coming when you shall worship in the Spirit. The hand of the Lord will come upon you and truth. And the truth will be loose from you." This is worship the way the Spirit of God has ordained it. All right, we're looking at instructions now on how to fear the Lord and what happens when there is no fear of the Lord. So call for the servant of the Lord. He said, "Bring me the musician. Now, before we go on to this next part about what the Lord did in this particular section in 2 Kings 3 about Jeroboam and Jerome and the three kings, Judah and Israel and the king of Edom, as they went up against the Edomites, I'd like to look at 2 Kings 17 just to set a little bit more context here as we come into the next part. 2 Kings 17:7, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right." He did it in secret, the occult. Secret treaties, secret pacts, secret rituals. "And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars, obelisks, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they serve idols, of which the Lord had said to them, 'You shall not do this thing.' Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets and every seer, saying, 'Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets.' So here God clearly sends his prophets to turn them back to him. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks, like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves a molded image and two calves. This is a scripture here. The sins of Jeroboam. Okay? They made a wooden image and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They practiced witchcraft and soothsaying and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed him from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Also, Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statute of Israel. Who is Israel? Is the northern kingdom, which they had made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, delivered them into the hand of plunderers until he cast them out of his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and they did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. Now Jeroboam is the son of Jeroboam. And he was the one who went up, and Elisha said, I'm not going to prophesy to this king of Israel and this Edomite king, but I will still prophesy to you, because he had put away the sins of Baal, but he had not, what? Put away the sins of the calf worship, the bulls. They worshiped golden calves. They worshiped the beast, the flesh, the Egyptian gods, that the seduction and the ways of sensuality in the flesh lead to witchcraft and idolatry. And God carried them off into Assyria. So the sword came to the land. They were dispossessed out of the land. And then beasts came, wild beasts. Let's just finish the rest of this. Then we'll go back to the story here of the kings and Elisha going after the Moabite king. Now also Judah did not keep the command. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Kutah, Ava, Amath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. So he dispossessed the land and put in foreigners, and they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its city. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them. So then he sent wild beasts, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore he has set lines among them, and indeed they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines in the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwelt. The men of Babylon made Sukkot Benot, The men of Kut made Nergal. The men of Hamah made Ashima. And the Avites made the Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharivites burned their children in fire to Adramelech and Amalek, the gods of Sepharvaim. Let me stop here and say that when the righteous in the land sigh and cry out and mourn for the sins and are grieved, the angel of the Lord marks those and God takes note of those. And there is a replacement that happens here in the hills of Samaria. The Israelites, the Hebrews, are moved out into Assyria, and other nations are come in to displace them and to dwell in their cities. This is the judgment of the Lord, the curses for disobedience that God speaks of in Deuteronomy. However, they were instructed that when the lions came in, the wild beast, and started killing some of the people, it said, the people of the land said, you don't know the rituals of the God of the land here, so send for a surprise. So there is a redemptive value. Those who know the Lord will instruct others, even in the midst of judgment from God's hand. Then we go on to see that these are the shrines, and that these people burn their children in the fire to the gods of Sepharvaim. These were wicked people that came in to dwell in the land. 32, so they feared the Lord when they were instructed in his ways, and from every class they appointed for themselves priests of the place, high places, who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods. So we have a dichotomy here. According to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. I believe this is a judgment and a curse also. They had a divided heart, idolatry. They did not keep their first four commandments of loving God alone and not serving idols. To this day, this is in Samaria, they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law and commandment which the Lord had commanded. The children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes, the ordinances, the law, and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. However, they did not obey, but followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. And so it is in the land of Israel, even to this day. There's a divided heart, and not many people follow Yeshua, the Messiah. And this is why the Lord says, that land, that city that impaled our Lord Jesus Christ, is spiritually known as Sodom and Mitzrayim. Those idolatrous spirits still operate there, that worship, that divided heart, serving other gods, serving other agendas. The nations have come in, they've brought their practices, and then also Sodom, and the sins of Sodom, of homosexuality, and unrighteous judgments in every way. These things still operate here. Right now we have the context for why Elisha would not talk to the king of Israel, because he was over Samaria and they had all these idolatrous golden calf worship. They had set up all this stuff. And so he told him, you go to your own prophets. But Elisha, the prophet, said, all right, but for Jehoshaphat's sake, because he's king of Judah, I'll minister, And verse 16 in 2 Kings 3:16, and he said, this, we're picking back up this story now, you've gotten the context, and he said, Elisha said, thus says the Lord. All right, here's the strategy. Make this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see the rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Of course, they were thirsty. They've been traveling 7 days without water. This is what they were asking for. Are we going to perish here? The Lord called these three kings together to go after the king of Moab, who would not pay tribute to them. He was in rebellion. And now we're going to perish. What does God say? God says, okay, I'm going to supply you water. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord, says Elisha. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. You will prevail over your enemy. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and you shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Why is that? Well, they would attack the cities. They'll cut down their trees for their produce and the springs of water so they can't drink. And they will put stones in the land so they can't plow or till the fields. Now, verse 20, it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. After they had done their morning sacrifices, their morning offerings, their ritual offerings commanded in the Old Testament at this time, not commanded today. We have different offerings today. The sacrifice, or the fruit of our lips, is our offering to the Lord. And the land was filled with water. Not a big deal for God, Elisha said. And they knew that when the water came, that the Moabites were going to be given into their hand. Verse 21, and when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites said, saw the water on the other side was red as blood. And they said, this is the blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. So that when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites. So that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. And they did exactly what the prophet told them to do. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees. But they left the stones of Kirah Haseth intact. However, the slingers surrounded it and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then the king of Moab took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. He gave him as sacrifice, human sacrifice, to his gods. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from the land and returned to their own land. Now, this is an interesting story because there was demonic power in this. There, this king of Moab turned back the battle at the wall by sacrificing his son on the wall. Now, in the tribe of Dan, the city was built with human sacrifices when they built the walls. And sometimes the foundations of the cities of the walls, they would offer sacrifice to, quote, appease the spirits. I don't know why Israel was indignant, but let's look in Deuteronomy 18:9-14 about the wicked customs, avoiding them when you come into the land. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or one who is a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead, For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. So this is our authority. When we are walking in righteousness with the Lord, he drives out the people that commit these abominations out of the land. But you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed you for such. Let's look over here at Micah, which is excellent. Now, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. He hates abortion. He hates these things. And these things, these acts, these practices of child sacrifice bring a judgment. Micah 6:6. What? Shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? These are the Lord's requirements. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These are the requirements of God. This is where the blessing of the Lord rests upon you. To rend your hearts and not your garments. To have an inward cleansing and an inward washing. And not to follow the practices of those around you. But to keep the commandments of God. May God richly bless you in our Savior's name. Jesus the Savior. The Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.